Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Devrishi Singh of CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Singh.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the earnings conference call for Cera Sanitaryware Limited for Q1 FY23 earnings, which were announced yesterday. We have with us today the management team comprising Mr. Ayush Bagla, Executive Director, and Mr. Rajesh B. Shah, CFO and COO of Cera Sanitaryware. We will start with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we will open the call for Q&A. A quick disclaimer before we begin. Some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature, and a detailed note in this regard is contained in the result documents that have been shared with all of you earlier. I would now turn the call over to Mr. Ayush Bagla for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. The earnings for the first quarter for the period ended 30th June 2022 were adopted by the board of directors yesterday, 4th August 2022. The earnings documents have been released to the stock exchanges. During the quarter gone by, we continued to witness strong demand for our products as the overall replacement demand remained quite positive, with consumers continuing to spend on home upgradation and improvement. The velocity of sales in residential apartment continues to see good momentum, with new project launches getting announced by many real estate players across most regions. We are well-positioned to monetize current and ongoing demand. We are positive that this scenario will lead to sustained new demand generation for Cera's products. At present, our manufacturing facility continues to function at high utilization levels. Capacity utilization for Q1 FY23 for sanitaryware was at 109.53%, and we endeavor to operate the plant at similar levels all through FY23. In faucetware, the capacity utilization was 102.65% during Q1 FY23, and all efforts are on to maintain these capacity utilization levels. As indicated in our previous earnings call, our average production at the faucetware plant was 1.8 lakh pieces per month up to H1 of FY22, which in March 2022 increased to an average of 2.5 lakh pieces. Current production in July 2022 is 3 lakh pieces, an all-time high, almost 67% over the previous year's numbers. This development has set new volume benchmarks, enabling us to sweat our existing assets more extensively and also allow us to cater to the increasing demand over the next 12 months. The faucetware expansion program commenced in July 2022, and current indications are that the program will be completed in Q1 FY24. An enhanced capacity of another 1 lakh pieces, totaling 4 lakh pieces per month, will be available for in-house manufacturing. During the expansion phase, no disruption to current manufacturing is envisaged, and a comprehensive risk mitigation model has been implemented, envisaging various scenarios to ensure that the market need for faucetware products are continuously met from the existing plant. For fresh capacity for manufacturing in sanitaryware, the company has carried out extensive surveys of water, gas, and labor availability for a greenfield facility. A few land parcels have been shortlisted, and the company is currently conducting due diligence for those land parcels. Since CapEx will commence post-land acquisition, the detailed plans of the phase-wise capital expenditure will be made available in due course. As on 30th June 2022, our cash and cash equivalents stood at 566 crores against rupees 433 crores in June 2021, registering an increase of 30.72%. Positive cash flow for this quarter is 49 crores. In FY22, for the full year, positive cash flow was 164 crores. Therefore, going forward, internal accruals will be deployed to fund the two CapEx programs, and we also have the flexibility to use some part of the accumulated cash and cash equivalent if required. I would like to reiterate that no debt raising or equity dilution is planned or required for the entire capacity expansion. Q1 FY23 also continued to witness a stable to slightly upward bias in prices of raw materials. To counter these cost pressures, the company undertook necessary price hikes in the month of May 2022. In sanitary ware, a price hike of 3%, and in faucet ware, a price hike of 5% was implemented in May 2022. Despite the external environment witnessing an increase in prices of inputs and raw materials, Cera has not witnessed a material impact during Q1 FY23. On the sanitary ware side, key items like China clay, feldspar, and plaster of Paris, which constitute more than 95% of sanitary ware's raw material mix, had a combined impact of 2%. In the sanitary ware business, within the glazing recipe, which constitutes less than 2% of sanitary ware's raw material mix, the key constituents of color and zinc have moved up 11% during Q1. Due to availability of gas from isolated wells near our plant, the pricing of gas from GAIL continues to remain below market and will do so in the future. Price has increased at 25.69 rupees per cubic meter in June 2022, which was 13.26 per cubic meter in March 2022. In Q1 FY23, GAIL provided 49% of the gas requirement of the sanitary ware business. Sabarmati Gas, a JV of BPCL and GSPC, pricing went down from 75.01 per cubic meter in March 22 to 73.58 per cubic meter in June 2022. Supplying 51% of the gas needs of the plant for Q1. Gas costs constitute 3.06% of Cera's top line. There have also been price increases in some ancillary cost items like transportation cost at 2 to 3%. Cost of corrugated boxes have gone up by 6%. Our reliance on in-house renewable energy for over two decades has significantly benefited us, given that 65% of our electricity needs are met from in-house wind and solar power sources. As a result, we have been able to keep significant parts of our cost basket stable. There has been significant innovation in marketing and sales. A retail engagement and loyalty program was launched, unlike any other in the building materials industry. In a span of 3 months, 11,500 plus retailers have adopted this platform. More than 5,000 plus or 40% of those retailers are regular users of the app-based software. Various artificial intelligence tools and algorithms are used to cull out meaningful insights from this program. The company has rewarded retailers on a well-thought-out matrix of sales and profitability. The dealer distributor is also fully on board with this program, as the retailer serviced by the dealer receives an incentive with no cost to the dealer. There is full transparency in margins and discounts that a dealer offers the retailer. The company has access to valuable data which is being monetized by mining to cross-sell and upsell. This is one unique step in Cera getting very close to the retailer, to the point of sale, and to the ultimate consumer. In that backdrop, we can go over the financials. Revenues from operations in Q1 FY23 were 396 crores versus 223 crores in Q1 FY22, an increase of 77.6%. EBITDA excluding other income was 62 crores in Q1 FY23 versus 20 crores in Q1 FY22, a growth of 210.6%. The EBITDA margin is higher by 660 basis points at 15.5% in Q1 FY23 versus 8.9% in Q1 FY22. Therefore, margin expanded by 74%. PAT was 40 crores in Q1 FY23 versus 13 crores in Q1 FY22, an increase of 207% YOY. Earnings per share for Q1 FY23 was 30.47 versus rupees 9.93 in Q1 FY22. For Q1 FY23, 54% of the top line was from sanitaryware, 35% from faucetware, tiles represented 10%, and wellness 1%. On a YOY basis, sanitaryware revenues registered an increase of 89%. Faucetware revenues increased by 99%, tiles increased by 9%, and wellness increased by 49%. The sanitaryware and faucetware verticals remain the bedrock of the business with a contribution of 89% to Cera's overall revenues. We continue to witness encouraging demand for newly launched products. During the last 3 years, the new product development program contributed close to 22% of revenues. Inventory days in Q1 FY23 were 72.76 days compared to 60.86 days in Q1 FY22. Receivable days in Q1 FY23 were 26.38 days versus 38.51 days. Payable days in Q1 FY23 were 38.94 days against 29.11 days in Q1 of FY22. Therefore, net working capital days in Q1 FY23 was 60.20 days versus 70.37 days in Q1 of FY22. After a fairly low capex last year, where against the capex budget of 17.19 crores for FY22, the total capex spent was 11.12 crores. In the current year, the capex budget other than the faucetware and sanitaryware expansion programs is 24.7 crores, of which 7.7 crores is for sanitaryware automation, 6.4 crores is for faucetware automation, 6.6 crores for land and building, and 4 crores for logistics and IT. During Q1, 0.26 crores was spent on sanitaryware automation, 0.02 crores on faucetware automation, 0.01 crore on land and building, and 0.03 crore on logistics and IT. In conclusion, I would like to say that today there are multiple industry tailwinds which we believe would enable the sanitaryware and faucetware industry to maintain its steady and consistent growth. Cera's growth plan remains intact as it plans to expand its capacities and be at the forefront to capture this rising demand. After taking a few years to break the 1250 to 1350 crore top line band, in FY22, Sera touched a top line of 1,446 crores. The impact on PAT and EBITDA margins was clearly visible. Going forward, Sera is set on a new top line trajectory, which is reflected in the Q1 numbers. Every decision made at Sera is from the shareholders' point of view, with ROCE, payback period, impact on EPS fully considered before being placed for deliberation before the board of directors. The positive macro factors in our industry, coupled with the company's strong balance sheet, distribution channels, R&D capabilities, comprehensive offerings, high brand salience, and other such strong inherent strengths of this four-decade-old company, would not only enable it to face any macro-level uncertainties, but also continue to support its growth and its leadership position going forward. I would now request the moderator to open up the line for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Naysar Parikh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Two questions. One is, can you talk a bit about your market share in both sanitary ware and faucet ware and, you know, how that has been moving and how you see that going forward?
We would like to, but, you know, there is no third-party published data on market shares in both sanitary ware and faucet ware, but I can give you some rough estimates. Sera has been, for the last 4 years, the largest player in sanitary ware in the country, and our growth is, let's say, 25% higher than industry growth. And industry growth for the last 4-5 years has been in high single digits. So if you take a mix of price and volume, you'll find that we are growing in the teens. And going forward, that growth number will increase. In faucet ware, we are the second largest player, but let's say the market is growing by 9-10%, and we are growing, let's say, at 40%, but our share of incremental market share is 15%. So we are growing at 1.5 times the growth in industry in faucet ware.
Understood. Got it. And the second question was, you know, on in terms of your pricing and margins, right? You mentioned the 3%-5% price hike that you've taken. So going forward, you know, for this fiscal, are there any other projected price hikes? And, you know, with where the raw material prices are, what should we expect on the margin front going forward?
See, the bulk of price hikes was also due to the ability of the market to bear these price hikes. So last year, we took 21% price hikes in sanitary ware, 26% in faucet ware. On the back of that, a 3% and 5% makes sanitary ware closer to 26%-27%, and faucet ware closer to 31% in about 15 months. And you're seeing no dent on sales velocity. So you can see how strong the markets are, how strong the brand promise and brand recall and brand salience is. So our strategy towards price hikes is very simple. There is, in most cases in sanitary ware, very little push from raw materials. Sometimes there is a push on other costs like transport, gas, labor, and packaging. So we take a very nimble and agile decision as and when the situation presents itself. And in the past, there have never been any price rollbacks, but you're seeing raw material prices cool off. So we do expect margin expansion on that front. As far as the next price hike is concerned, earlier we used to review pricing twice a year, but last year we reviewed pricing 3-4 times a year. So we'll just be very nimble about it as and when there are changes in the market.
Got it. And this last question, what would be your mix between retail and, projects?
See, our B2C business is now 68% of sales. And, this is a very important question because it takes 15 years to get there. So I'll just give you another example based on the question you have asked. 13, 14 years ago, when large tiles companies entered sanitary ware and faucet ware, there was a threat. But to bulk up, they immediately went the other way. They went the B2B way. And there is a lot of temptation to do that to bulk up your volumes. But the problem with that is when you enter a business and start negotiating your pricing, it dilutes the brand so much you can never be a B2C player. Same thing is happening with newer entrants now. In the temptation to bulk up and show some immediate benefits, they are all going the B2B way.
Right. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Shroff from QRC Investment Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Congratulations on a very strong show. You mentioned something interesting on the trajectory of faucet ware, where we've gone from 1.8 lakh pieces a month to 3 and eventually 4. So if you could sort of maybe help us understand better what has led to this massive expansion, and what steps has the company taken to be able to do this with very minimal capex. And also the second question, overall, if sort of we look at, let's say, economy or luxury, and what is the sales mix across faucetware and sanitaryware, and is there a shift and is there a benefit of sort of more premium products in the mix that has already happened or you anticipate happening, which should also help margins going forward?
So in faucetware, the company was growing between 25 and 35% annually for the last 4-5 years. We are the second largest player, and last year we grew 37 to 40%, almost 4 times the growth in industry. And there was some addition of talent in the faucetware manufacturing facility. SOPs were changed and some processes were changed. Some automation projects which were completed last year helped in this increase from 1.8 to first 2.5 and now 3. So with virtually close to zero capex, this was achieved. And, I mean, there was a lot of question and answer for the last 7-8 quarters. Why aren't we expanding faucetware when the faucetware business is doing so well? And we kept saying that without really having to invest through money, there are other changes that can take place in the business which will make the business even more profitable, and that is exactly what has happened. With minimal capex, we've achieved 3 lakh pieces per month, and now with just expenditure of 69 crores in the brownfield expansion, we'll go to 4 lakhs a month. So this is all, I think, outcome of managerial decision making and trying to optimize and maximize every rupee spent, both on OPEX and CAPEX. The second question was on upselling. So I'll give you some data which will add color to your question and also give you some initiatives that the company is taking. So same quarter last year, entry level products were 40.5% of sale. And, we've done a full reclassification of what is entry, what is mid, what is premium based on all the price hikes. So the base values have all been taken up dramatically. So what was considered mid last year is now entry. What was considered luxury last year is now mid. So from 40.5% of sales value, entry level in sanitary ware, it's 46.7. In the mid category, last year we had 49.9%, which is 43.1. And in the premium category, we had 9.6%, which is 10.2. In faucetware, entry level was 59.5 last year, which is now 51.7. Mid level was 22.8, which is now 30.4. And premium was 17.6. which is now 17.9. So we are consistently taking the bar up on a blended basis for the overall company, last year entry level was 48.5, which is now 48.8, mid level was 38.5, which is 37.8, and premium was 13.0, which is now 13.4.
Okay, got it. So, and the initiatives that we are taking on the retailers, etc., as one would imagine that all of that and the data analytics that you spoke about, that should eventually help us drive, we think, more of a premium push as well over time.
So far, this industry has been dealing only with dealers or distributors. And there was, across the industry and also for Cera, there was very little engagement directly with retailers and very little data collection of consumer behavior or retailers. So we also would rely on our sales team, which is on the ground in all the states. That was one. And a lot of feedback from the dealers. But we wanted to go one step beyond. And now with AI tools and software-based apps available, we've rolled out a very large program. Got on board 11,500 dealers. We are getting consumer behavior, point of sale behavior, the interplay between dealer discounts and margins and retailer discounts and margins, all of that data. So cross-selling is the obvious thing that we're having to do and we want to do, but upselling is going to be a huge theme this year.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shrenik Jain from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, basically, I want to understand that over the longer term, what is the view for a company? Will we continue to be a bachelor player or we will also plan to get into other adjacent products like in currently in industry we're seeing like the pipe players are getting into bathware and paints, the tile players are getting into wood panels and different products. So what is the view on a longer term basis? As we are making healthy cash flows, how do we plan to deploy it effectively?
See, currently you would have heard that we are expanding the faucetware facility on a brownfield basis at a cost of 69 crores and we have estimated that a greenfield facility for sanitaryware will cost 129 crores. So we see tremendous opportunities in sanitaryware and faucetware going forward, not only in the short term, in the medium term. And there are significant advantages in profitability being the largest player in sanitaryware. And of course, taking our market share in faucetware up, you know, I mean, this 37 to 40% growth. No industry, even in building materials, is seeing that kind of growth that Cera's faucetware is seeing. So there are tremendous opportunities available and currently there are no plans. And, you know, for other companies, of course, they are also profitable. They want to deploy their cash in newer businesses. But this is a temptation to start a new business and then become a B2B player. That is a very risky temptation. Because then you are always a marginal player with marginal profitability and the return metrics on capital deployed, it might get lost in the overall balance sheet, but on a standalone basis is not more than single digit.
Sure, sir. But over the longer term, if we plan to get into any other adjacencies, which are the products that we can get into which use the similar channel as we are currently having?
Currently, there are no plans. There is no discussion in front of the board or even at a nascent stage. Currently, the discussion is maximize the throughput in your current manufacturing facilities and put up new capacities. See, there's another angle to this. Product life cycle is reducing. The industry average for new product development is 10 to 11% of sales. Cera's is 22% of sales. That is like entering a new business. This incremental 11% of sales that Cera is getting is purely new business, which was not there. So managing a shorter product life cycle is a full-time department and a full-time, you know, understanding of the consumer, dealer, retailer, all of that. So currently there are no plans of entering any new businesses, not even at the nascent stage.
Sure, so got it. And sir, we talk on margin. So over the next 3-4 years, our own capacities will improve and top line will grow. I'm sure operating leverage benefit will season. So where do we see our EBITDA margins in normal scenario 3 years down the line?
See, our steady state EBITDA margins for the last many years has been 14%. That went up dramatically in Q4 and also for the year last year. So now the steady state EBITDA has crossed, let's say, 15.5%, which was the number for last year. So going forward, you could see between 50 to 75 basis point increase annually. And I'm saying this annually because in 40 months, the company will definitely double its FY22 top line. So you can calculate the absolute impact it will have on numbers.
So
thank you. Sorry to interrupt, sir. So I would request you to please come back in the queue.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you so much. We'll move to the next question from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
Just a clarification. We exited Anjali Tiles in quarter four, right? So the number that we see and the margin that we see now ex of Anjali Tiles, is that correct? Because that portfolio for us was a lower margin.
Yes. See, about 6 years ago, the company took a decision never to have any tiles manufacturing on its own balance sheet. So it took stakes in two ventures. One was Anjali Tiles and one was Milo, where our risk was restricted to our equity investment. So once Anjali put up the plant and it's become large enough and it's profitable and doing well, the company decided to exit its investment at the optimum time, at the peak of the performance of the last 4-5 years, and that's what happened in August-September last year. So when the agreement was signed, Ind AS rules were followed, the turnover was consolidated in the first three quarters, and in the fourth quarter, whatever amount was added was deducted. So you will see a note by the auditors in Q1, 5 crores has been deducted from Q1 FY22's turnover, so as to give investors and shareholders a like-to-like comparison between Q1 FY22 and Q1 FY23.
So now instead of consolidation, we will have a trade sale, right?
Now there is no consolidation with Anjani after last year, after Q1.
And what is the margin impact on it?
See, Anjani was making EBITDA of 5-6 crores for the year.
Okay.
And the top line, Cera was consuming 70-80% of the product, so it was getting added to top line of Cera on a consolidated basis and a standalone basis.
Okay. Sir, my other two questions, I missed your revenue target for FY23. And you were mentioning that with this capacity expansion that you have lined up, what is the revenue? You mentioned that the revenue will double, right? But over how many years?
40 months, 3.5 years.
3.5 years it will double. And what is the revenue target for FY23?
That, we've been careful about giving forward-looking numbers for the year.
Okay.
But, those who have built the financial model, if you put the Q1 numbers, and you normally 22% of the annual top line is Q1. You will get the annual number.
Okay. And lastly, sir, if you could tell me again the sanitary and the faucetware revenues for the quarter, just the absolute revenue.
Yes, I'll give you that, and I'll also give you one more data point that will help you about outsourcing. The absolute number in sanitaryware was 211.63 crores.
211 crores,
which is 53.56% of sales.
Okay.
Out of which outsourcing was 50.03%.
Okay.
Last year the same outsourcing figure was 58.62%.
This time it is 53%.
Yes, because the 50.03.
Okay.
And there's a dramatic change because of the throughput increase.
Okay.
For the year was 58.62. Last year for Q1 it was 55.21.
Okay.
So 10% change.
Hmm.
In faucetware, the absolute number for top line for Q1 FY23 is 136.32 crores. That is 34.50% of sales. Outsourcing is 54.80.
Okay.
Last year, outsourcing was also 54.55.
Okay. And sir, lastly, if you could even give the tiles revenue?
Yes. Tiles revenue for the quarter is 40.48, which is 10.25% of sales.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Number last year was 37.2 crores, which was 16.73% of sales.
Okay. 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 Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the queue, we request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have any further questions, you may come back in the queue. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahawla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Just taking forward the earlier participant's question. So for the current year for 2023, our capacities are more than 100% utilized. So any kind of volume growth will only be by increasing the share of outsourcing?
Till fresh capacity comes on stream in faucetware.
Interrupt, sir. Please, if you can just start with the answer again.
Right. Till fresh capacity comes on stream in faucetware, which will be Q1 of FY24, there might be some increase in outsourcing. And similarly, in sanitaryware. So for the next 2.5 years, there would be an increase in outsourcing percentage. But that percentage doesn't tell you the entire story. There are a lot of SKUs which the company was making, and they may decide to outsource because the company wants to adopt the new development program and make those in-house because those are too complicated for vendors to make. So the company might decide to free up certain capacity to make new products.
So is this expected to have any negative impact on the margins as the share of outsourcing increases?
In fact, outsourcing partners and vendors have a dramatically lower cost base than the company, which is why they choose to make low-end products in large quantities. And for the company to buy and sell, the margins are the same as own manufacturing.
Okay. And my second question is, a couple of quarters ago, you had highlighted that for most players in this industry, we're facing challenges because they were importing from China and other countries, and hence, there was supply-side disruption. Can you just share with us the latest update on the competitive intensity in this industry now?
Yes, please. I'll give you some background of what is happening in China. After the Chinese New Year, there are two clusters, the Chaozhou cluster and the Henan cluster. In the Henan cluster, which is a much larger cluster due to frequent lockdowns, capacities are still between 60%-70% operational. In the smaller cluster, the Chaozhou cluster, there is more or less 90% availability. But again, the largest impediment to importing from China continues to be the container cost, which pre-COVID was $600, currently $6,400 in June. And one container of sanitaryware imports only contains $18,000 worth of sanitaryware products. So from a landed cost perspective, one-third of the landed cost is freight.
Alisha, do you have any further questions?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudarshan Mall from Dhansiri Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I got your comments on the margin thing that we should expect the 50-75 basis point improvement every year. but like last year our exit margins were 19%. So what should be the starting point, let's say, for FY 2023? Should it be like, I think in our TV interview you mentioned something between 17%-19%. Is that the correct?
See, margins have been very susceptible to increases in top line. When you saw a significant jump in top line in Q4 last year, you saw a significant jump in EBITDA margins. That is the trend going forward. As you see slight changes in top line, you will see massive changes in EBITDA and PAT margins. That happened not only for Q4 last year, it happened for the calendar year last year, the financial year, and for Q1 of this year. The steady state, which was 14%, has already moved to 15.5%. I'm talking about an increment of 50-75 basis points annually on a full year basis on 15%-15.5%. The driver of that is a 80-20 mix between variable costs and fixed costs. Fixed costs are increasing maybe at a nominal rate of inflation, and variable costs may increase, but they're completely linked to sales.
Sir, I understood, sir. I understood the operating leverage playing out. All I'm trying to understand, in the TV interview I heard that margin guidance for FY 2023 stands between 17%-19%. Is that a correct thing I heard?
We'll be careful about giving out any number for the full year FY 2023.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm done.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mithun Aswath from Kivah Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Couple of questions. One was on you know, the kind of revenue growth we expect in the current year. Obviously, Q1 last year was a low base. Just wanted to understand how the market dynamics are faring, and do you see robust growth this year as well? Number two, on your expansion plan, when do you think these will come on board? So those were the two questions that I had.
See, over the last 30 months, which includes some part of pre-COVID, the industry was dealing with a shortage of products. In sanitary ware, the industry size is very small, and that is why the four largest players command such a sizable market share. More than 60% plus combined market share is divided amongst four players, and that has not changed for decades. The size of the industry does not allow for external entrant to suddenly disrupt the industry. It does not allow. It's not that big. That is one reason. Dealing with shortage was something all four players were grappling with. Now, at least I can speak for Cera. Cera has come out of that problem over the last 12-15 months. There is no shortage of any sanitary ware or faucet ware product, and that will remain for the foreseeable future. Our ability to monetize all the opportunities coming from the market, that is going to be important, and that is available. There are very strong tailwinds both in the B2B and B2C business. We restrict our involvement in the B2B business because we don't want to change this ratio too fast. After so much effort over the last 15 years, we've somehow reached 68% of sales as B2C sales. We don't want to change that ratio. Second question was, when will we get access to product from our expanded capacity? In faucet ware, we expect Q1 FY 2024 to be the time where capacity expansion goes on stream, so our 3 lakh current production will become 4 lakh. In sanitary ware, it will take a little more time because once the zero date is set, which will be set sometime in this calendar year once land is acquired and permissions for water, gas, and a few other regulatory permissions are obtained. Since from the zero date will be another 24 months to completion of the plant.
Just one last one. On your raw materials, not raw material, on your energy costs because of natural gas going up, have you taken any further price hikes in the last few months or Are you planning anything? Just wanted to.
Yes, in May of this year, which was part of the quarter, we took a price hike of 3% in sanitary wear and 5% in faucet wear. But you know, unlike tiles companies, where some tiles companies have an impact of 200 or 300 crores in changes in gas cost, in Cera's case, the impact is always between 5 and 10 crores annually in a rising gas cost environment. So gas is 3% of sales. It's very different metrics to be applied for Cera and the other tiles companies.
Right. Thanks. That's very helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Archana Gude from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Ayush, congrats on very decent set of numbers. So I have two questions, you know. Firstly, on the competitive intensity, so a very strong player in pipes has entered into bathware, and the two tile players have been very aggressive on increasing the sales from this segment. So is the demand at retail end is strong enough to support the pricing and margins going forward? How we should look at the competitive intensity going forward? I know you have replied this even earlier, but what should give us the assurance that we should not be too much worried about Cera's growth, like how we are delivered in the past?
See, we welcome any new entrant. You know, the same topic was raised when the top two tile companies entered this business 12-13 years ago. Then a very large paints company, a giant, entered this business 9 years ago. Again, the same question was asked. And the last mile between paints and sanitary ware is very different. And again, the last mile between tiles and sanitary ware is very different, and tiles is a predominantly B2B business. A B2B player entering a B2C segment is almost like a new business, which has to face all the challenges. You cannot just replicate the entire distribution model. Even the brand transferability is not that simple. So yes, you are saying some pipes companies are entering the business. If they come up with good designs, it will be good for the consumer. That's great. But globally, we have not heard of any success stories of companies who have replicated a behind-the-wall strategy to front-of-the-wall. We've not really heard of those success stories. And behind-the-wall strategy is selling to a plumber. Front-of-the-wall strategy is selling directly to the consumer based on aesthetics, design, and functionality.
Right.
So they are very different models.
Sure. Ayush, I missed out on the number. What is the percentage of tiles in total sales for Q1?
It is 10.25, 40.48 crores, which translates into 10.25%.
And should we assume the same kind of run rate going ahead?
See, tiles, what we've done is we've changed the complete product mix. So now, you know, triple fire tiles, then full body double charged. Now, you know, even GVT, the way prices of GVT have been declining, it is no more a premium tile. So I'll give you one example. Our double charge, which is now pretty much the most expensive tile that we are selling, share of double charge has moved from 16% to 22% of sales. Share of soluble salt, which is commoditized, remains at 6% of sales.
Right.
Share of wall tiles has moved from 26% to 30% of sales. Those are the initiatives. So without really going into a top-line number, we are focusing totally on the bottom-line number because this is a pure outsourced model, a trading business.
Sure, that's helpful. And lastly, Ayush, I guess many would like to know, what is the succession plan for Cera? Who would be taking over from Mr. Vikram Somani as and when he retires?
I think the promoters have already made their intent clear. Ms. Deepshika Khaitan is already joint managing director. She's been on the board for more than 10 years. She's running the business already for many years. So that is already an event that is behind us.
So Ms. Deepshika will be the next in the shoes of Mr. Vikram Somani.
No, that I'm not saying what will happen in the future. I'm saying succession plan can be analyzed from the intent and past actions.
Right, but if the management can give us slightly more clear guidance to us, that would be really helpful.
The promoter team is Ms. Deepshika Khaitan and Mr. Vikram Somani, and they are running the business currently. And as joint managing director, Ms. Khaitan is running every aspect of the business for the last many years.
Sure, Ayush. Thank you so much. That was really helpful. And all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Lalwani from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ayush. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question was on the volume growth. So if we compare our top line with pre-COVID levels, our sanitaryware has grown at 15%, faucetware at 25%, and our tiles business has declined. So in this number, if you could spell out the volume growth which you have seen, that would be helpful.
See, volume growth is important, and without volume growth, the business really can't grow. But there's a reason why we don't discuss, you know, SKU-wise growth, simply because now the number of SKUs, I'll just give you the number. Total SKUs in sanitaryware are already 515. Intentionally, the company might decide to lower the sales of some SKUs and increase the sales of newer SKUs because the profitability matrix is completely different. In faucets, we are now 978 SKUs. So if we only restrict our discussion to volumes, it will not give a good flavor on this new product development, because product life cycle has come down dramatically. And those who know the marble industry, and they can take up the best reference, is the marble industry, where designs come in and out of fashion. So similar trends are now visible in faucetware and sanitary.
Okay, so if you could, you know, just give a ballpark range, that would be useful, because it would help us ascertain the quality of growth and help us forecast better as well.
The best way to look at it is, let's say the industry grows at 7 to 9 or 7 to 10%, and Cera's faucetware will grow at almost 50 to 75% higher than industry growth. Half of that growth will be volume, half will be value. And sanitaryware will grow 25% above industry growth. Again, half of that will be pricing led and half will be volume led.
Right, Ayush. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash Shah from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Hi, Ayush. Thank you very much for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of results. On a 3-year CAGR basis from Q1 FY20 to Q1 FY23, what would be the price increase in sanitary wear and faucet wear segment?
See, well, last year, sanitary wear pricing went up by 21 and faucet by 26, but last year was an extraordinary year. But normally, you will find that we have been a little ahead of the inflation curve. So, if you look at right from 2015 to up to COVID, we just would review our pricing twice a year, every March and October, and we would stay ahead of the inflation curve. So, early teens, you would say.
Okay. So around 10, 11, 12%.
Yes.
Sure. And sir, if we look at on a year-on-year basis, standalone gross margin number, so our gross margins actually reduced from 55.8% in Q1 FY22 to 53.7% in Q1 FY23. So even though the product mix would have improved some bit and outsourcing portion would not have changed materially, so still there was some pressure on gross margin. So will you please help us reconcile or maybe understand why this was so?
So inward freight, gas and labor were the three variable costs that went up. So in COGS, you'll find that the fixed costs, which were 20% of cost, more or less was stable. Amongst the 80% basket, there was slight increase. And if another price hike is to happen, it will come with a slight lag effect. Having taken so many price hikes in the last 15 months, we'll get to see, because now bulk of the raw materials, including brass and many other raw materials, are now declining. Even gas from Sabarmati has declined by 2.5 rupees. So in a declining RM environment, we'll wait to take any more price hikes because there'll be a sufficient cushion. You're right, 55.78% has become 53.7%, but that's the impact of slight changes in the variable cost, which is part of the COGS.
Sure. And going forward, the price hikes that we have taken would help us come back to normalized gross margins?
See, normalized was always between 48 and 52. Because we saw 55 plus last year, that has become the new watermark. But if you go back to last 8-9 years, you'll see between 48 to 52 was the normalized gross margin.
Sure. Thank you very much. And just last bit on rural demand. So how is the demand situation in tier 3, tier 2 towns? Because predominantly, our large chunk of sales comes from these towns. So if you can just help us understand, are there new smaller projects coming up, and is there a visibility over next 3-4 years that we will be able to drive sanitary ware and faucets sales in these towns?
See, tier 3 and below are exactly where the meat of the market lies. So I'll give you some data to add color to your question. Export is 1% of sales this quarter. Tier 1 sales, which are population centers above 25 lakhs, is 30% of sales. Tier 2 cities with population of between 10 lakh and 25 lakh is 13% of sales. And tier 3 towns with populations up to 10 lakhs is 56% of sales. So though our definition of tier 3 is very high, but that's where the meat of the market is. And bulk of the efforts, whether it's opening new showrooms, new dealer engagement, appointing new dealers, creating infrastructure, sales team, all is directed in tier 3 markets. But at the same time, you saw share of tier 1 go from 27% last year to 30% this year. And that's again the outcome of new product development program and newer higher end SKUs being launched by the company and being accepted by the marketplace.
Are we seeing new projects coming up? Just last thing.
Yes, the new projects in tier 3 towns are, self-funded projects, and they don't have multiple stage approval processes like we have in Bombay and other cities. So the life cycle of those projects is 6 months, 9 months, and they are not dependent on external bank funding, construction finance, etc. So this is much lower risk, and we are not dealing with those projects directly. Our dealers are, as and when required. There is no negotiated pricing, there is no credit risk. So those are the pluses of those projects, and the velocity is very strong in those cities.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to thank everyone for attending this call and for showing interest in Cera Sanitaryware Limited. Cera remains positive that its strong positioning in the industry, improving macros, would help it deliver steady and consistent growth going forward. Should you need any further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to reach out to me or CDR India. Thank you once again for taking time to join the call and see you all next quarter.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.